is Using and Improving FOSS with Children with Dominic George and Jonathan K of Tickets eFOW, an OSI affiliate member.
Yes, we are. So welcome to our talk, which, as already introduced, will be about the role of children in the free software world. We retitled the talk "Too Young to Rock and Roll," which is a title we already used a few years ago at FOSSCAN, and I think it worked out quite well. So there are some people who are in fact too young to rock and roll, which means too young to become contributors in the free software world, which is not because of their capabilities, but because of the ecosystem, which many software projects have started creating. And what this means will be the topic of our talk. Jonathan and me are part of the Schulfrei project, Schulfrei being a pun on off school. It means having a day off school in German. It's a Germany-based project. The Schulfrei project deals with a lot of aspects of education and free software. We select software that fits well into education institutions. We provide some support for educational organizations for them to start using free software. And we help teachers, students, and developers to connect and to interact on the software they are creating and using. The project is run by Tickets, which is a German nonprofit organization founded in 2013. And Tickets has a lot of projects that deal with children and education in with technical topics, free software, getting children as young as 7 or 8 years sometimes into creating and modifying technology and finding out how they can participate in a technical and digital world. So today's rock band, Jonathan, please introduce yourself.
I'm born 29. I'm interested in programming as a hobby, and I got in touch with FOSS in 2020 at age 10. I got in touch with free software, Joke, a Raspberry Pi, and the Big Blue Button server, which my school got from Tickets. I started with programming because I found that I'm interested.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Jonathan's first ever presentation at a free software conference, and it's already in English. Normally we have a bit more equal division of the slides. So normally I don't talk that much. As he's starting small, please don't think that the Dallas rule here is Tickets. That's not the case. My name is Nick, or Dominic is the official long form. Everyone calls me Nick. I'm the founder of Tickets. In 2013, I decided to leave the public school system because its boundaries were too narrow for what I wanted to do, what I wanted to create, and what I wanted to improve on. And I founded Tickets. In my day job, I'm a system administrator and a consultant for PostgreSQL at the German open source company Creative, which might also be known in the US. So our first title of today is "Where Do the Children Play?" Jonathan will provide a few sentences about what his classmates and friends and him do with software every day.
We use web browsers, e.g. Firefox or Chrome. We do chatting with Signal, but I'm trying to switch to Matrix. Writing text, we do with LibreOffice or Microsoft Word. We learn with a learning platform, e.g. Moodle. We play games like Mindtest or Minecraft, and we use music players to play music like Spotify. We use navigation apps to navigate at new places like OpenStreetMap or Google Maps.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. I think this is your slide as well about what you think, what things you stumbled upon that could be improved in free software projects that you already use.
Moodle needs a better UI, which in some parts is confusing for students. Many programs code have some UI, maybe as an option for children. Learning apps often have mistakes or are badly translated.
Do you want to tell us something about one of your current projects?
The Tiptoe Pen is a pen to learn with books, but the software isn't working in old PCs. I make this for my brother. He wants to learn with the Tiptoe Pen, but all the new books cannot use it. So I want to find or write free software to save new audio files on the pen.
Thank you. So one of the classical issues with proprietary software is that it often doesn't work with older hardware or older versions of operating systems. And Jonathan is trying to improve the situation for the Tiptoe Pen, which is a famous electronic toy and learning device for younger children. So how do children see the world of the software they use? I think this is also your slide, Jonathan.
Kids often use different features of software. E.g., they use a coding editor to write regular text because it's the only editor they know. Or they use a feature that most adults find too playful, like font art in LibreOffice. Kids don't use the software only. They experiment with the software and try out every button. Intuition at adults. They try things differently and find ways that adults don't find.
Yes, as a little conclusion about what this small window into the world of children using software means is basically that everyone is born as a hacker. Every child likes taking something into their hands and play with it and maybe break it. You give something to a child and they will want to find out how it works, what it does, even if what it does means what happens when you throw it at the floor and it breaks. This is actually a process that is called learning until some regular school tries to teach you differently and tells you that learning is reading a book you are given and doing the exercises written down in the textbook. This is not the natural way of learning, and if you ever get the chance to educate a child in whichever area, your primary goal should be to keep the spirit alive and conserve this personality of being a hacker and of playing and trying to break things and maybe later trying to repair them even. And this is what really is meant by learning and what should be kept alive. Every time we use or create technology, also software. So in conclusion, young people often have different views, and they can have maybe can have an important impact on software, because maybe the developers don't see how the software is seen by younger users. Often developers already have issues seeing how software is used by the average user, by the average adult user, and this is even more so the case for children. Okay, so now what is the issue? This already sounded really great. Children have interesting views. They are playful. They experiment with technology they are given, be it hardware or software. This all sounded very, very cool. So what issues do we face? There are several kinds of issues that occur when children find their way into free software, like Jonathan and really a lot of others tried to do in the past. And it's getting harder and harder, mostly because of legal issues. Many online platforms that are used today say that people under a certain age are not allowed to use them. They have terms of use, they have privacy policies that either due to the way they are written and due to the impact of data processing and data sharing that they contain cannot be accepted by young people, or even they have notes in their terms of use that explicitly lock children out for different reasons. It just says if you're younger than 13 years or 16 years, you cannot have an account here, you cannot participate, which is a sad thing, because we heard that children might have different views that can be important for a software project. One very famous example is GitHub, the platform for making free software projects. At least this is what Microsoft, who operates GitHub, and many, many developers want us to believe, that GitHub is the place where you have to go when you want to publish a project or get people to participate in your project. Sadly, GitHub's terms of use explicitly lock out children under 13 years. And there are some libraries that already deal with tiptoe pens, for example. But Jonathan will have problems using these libraries or even improving them or getting in touch with the developers when he does his project for his little brother, because the platform the project uses does not allow him to participate, even though he obviously has the capabilities to do so. So there are reasons why GitHub does this, which is a combination of GitHub being based in the US and US providers being bound to the COPPA law, the Children Online Privacy Protection Act, which says that you cannot do various things if you target an online platform at children under the age of 13. But normally, finding source code and editing source code and posting a comment in an issue or something is not something that is covered by COPPA. The real thing that is covered by COPPA is providing and advertising commercial services. And GitHub has a large button that says, buy our premium service and you get these and this additional features. You can buy this, and it is big and green on the front page. TechKids had a lengthy discussion with some people from GitHub when GitHub wasn't owned by Microsoft yet. And the legal department agreed that if they would just move this, this button into somewhere into preferences where you can click I'm an adult, I'm older than 13 years or something, then you can buy the premium services. It's just the advertising on the front page that means that they are bound to COPPA and they cannot provide GitHub to children under 13 years. There might be some other issues with their privacy policies, but these are actually quite okay. There is nothing really, really bad that children could not grasp that would mean that they can not accept it, the privacy policy. But this commercial part of GitHub means that children are locked out from every free software project hosted on GitHub. One new platform that is coming up more and more, and that even some free software projects move to for their community communication, is Discord, which is a platform targeted at video gamers. And they have an explicit rule in terms of use that people under the age of 16 cannot use the platform. And they even state explicitly that parental consent will not help. There's always this fallback. You can, as a, you could go to your parents and say, hey, can I make an account, or can you make an account for me or something? This is explicitly not allowed for Discord. So children cannot even get the help of an adult to get in touch with the free software community there. And the age is even higher. Maybe we could say that being a free software contributor under the age of 13 might be a very, very rare thing that happens. But finding a free software contributor under the age of 16 or between the age of 13 and 16 is very much more common. There's this thing called GDPR, which is valid for everyone who either operates their online platforms in the European Union or targets their online platform at citizens of the European Union. So it's also relevant for most US providers because they also target citizens of the European Union. And this law has a rule of thumb when children can accept your terms, your privacy policy without any obstacles. And it says that if a regular child of a certain age can be expected to grasp the consequences of accepting your privacy terms, then you can accept their consent without any legal burdens, or even without getting consent from their parents. So if your privacy policy just says, we do not collect any data and we do not pass your data to any third parties, then you are all right. Then there is no reason to lock out children under GDPR. There is another case when you obviously advertise your service for children, like you make a website with fancy and colorful games that obviously are targeted at young children. So you really intentionally attract children to your service. Then there are some other rules that apply. But if we just said that a very young free software contributor is a rare case, then obviously GitHub is not directly marketed at young people of this age, so this doesn't apply either. Another point are US export laws. This is something that is not only that has not only an impact on young contributors or users, it has an impact on everyone. I think most people who are active in the open source ecosystem will have followed some developments at Fedora. Recently, Fedora has decided, or better stated, Red Hat has decided to lock out users and contributors of the Fedora project coming from Iran, which is because services they use are operated on commercial US platforms, and or even Fedora is commercialized by Red Hat, and they cannot target this at citizens of Iran. Same is valid for GitHub. GitHub is not allowed to target their services at citizens of Iran. And at least theoretically, no one living in Iran is allowed to contribute to GitHub projects right now because it is a commercial platform. Apart from legal issues, there of course are also pedagogic issues. Children need some more mentoring, but this is not something that only is true for children. Also, If you have big diversity in your community and you strive for diversity, obviously you should have some mentoring in place to help beginners or people with different issues find their way in your community. But children often need a different approach and sometimes need help with other challenges than adults do, like with language barriers or technical wording or things like that. So how can we solve at least some of these issues? Why should we solve them? Well, young people can be left out if we put up barriers that say, if you are younger than this age, we do not want you to contribute. There is this free software definition that grants four essential freedoms when using free and open source software, which is the usability for any purpose. So you are allowed to use it in all use cases you want. You are allowed to improve and modify the code and read the code, and you are allowed to pass these changes on to others. And these essential freedoms are not bound to some personal properties. The free software definition and the open source definition do not say anything about that these rights can be limited for people who are too young or come from the wrong country. They are essential rights that have to be true for every user and for every contributor. And I think putting your project on a platform that locks out a certain part of this big community is strictly against these four software freedoms. Also, no one should be made a second-class contributor. There are some ways you can find a compromise between these ways, which I will come back to in 2 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. There is a solution which I titled Free Software Needs Free Tools. There is also a classical blog post with the same title. I learned this from, and if you put up your project or if you operate a fully free software platform like Codeberg or FireMonger or EduGit, and you do not have any commercial services linked to it, then you are okay. Then you are not bound to COPPA, at least if you don't do one of the other things that is covered by COPPA. And you are not bound to US export laws. So, one simple solution, if you choose platforms for your code hosting, for your community engagement, use free platforms. And at this point, I want to bring out a big thank you to Ozzy, who ran this event with 100% free open source software platforms. And we did not face any obstacle to get Jonathan here as a speaker, which is also very rare. Okay. Another thing that can be done is you can try to improve the diversity in your local user groups by coming up with cool projects, trying to run a makerspace or project day at your local school or something. Anything that gets you in touch with young people who might be interested in creating and improving technical tools. Also, if you are a company, you can try sponsoring such activities. You can try sponsoring a local user group or a makerspace that does projects with children. Try to make an interesting tinkering project yourself that is a product of your daily business. Or you can come up with cool ideas for young interns, apart from brewing coffee, and find out how you can actually show the software world and the technological world and what it means to create it to young interns. So the last part titled Don't Stop Believing Of course, we cannot get everything fixed right now. We cannot tell everything, hey, ditch GitHub and move your project to GitHub tomorrow. This won't work out. But there is a lot that can be done with small steps. As a project maintainer, you can start moving to free platforms. You can find ways to communicate beside the platform that you are using. This is something about the second class citizen thing. You can, of course, say you can post an issue here, or if you cannot use our issue tracker for legal reasons or something, then you can send a mail to this mailing list here. This is a small improvement, but of course it means that the two groups will not communicate. So there will be a difference between the people who are legally allowed to use your issue tracker and those who aren't, and there can be a difference between the between the channels, and so everyone who cannot use your issue tracker obviously becomes kind of a second-class citizen. But it is a small improvement that can be made. As a user group member, you can help identifying projects that are interesting for young people and run them. And always, if you need help doing so, you can contact Techids and get some help or ideas. Okay, so time is running out. Thanks for listening. Are there any questions, feedback, ideas? As we are very short on time, we can try to answer one or two here. And if this doesn't work out, you can always get in touch with us at these addresses, which I will post to the chat quickly because I failed fixing the font color.
So I will translate this question to German for Jonathan. Jonathan, was ist aus deiner Sicht die beste Software überhaupt? Und warum, genau. Jonathan, are you there? Can you hear us? Yes. Jonathan, what is the best software in your...
I find Linux is a good software, but it's an operating system. Then come for me Edugit, because I can hosting on their code project.
And I think Mindtest is not far down the list, I think. Mindtest findest du auch ganz gut, glaube ich.
Ja.
Okay. There are any more questions or concerns or things you might need help with, or you want to find out where our chat platform can be found to participate in our projects, or if you want to find out how to donate to tickets, maybe just feel free to send an email to the foss@tickets.org address. I post it to the chat. Thank you.